Good to have each of you out again this evening. As I mentioned this morning, we are going to continue our study about miracles. Many people claim to have the gifts that are like those given in the New Testament. It doesn't matter if you or I can show the verses that basically state that such gifts are temporary and that they were going to end. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that most of the big-time preachers claiming to have such abilities have been shown to be frauds. That, again, it really doesn't matter. People want to believe they either have powers or that somebody else has powers. Maybe part of our fantasy for wanting to have superheroes and things like that. I don't know. But it is a common thing that people want to believe that are miraculous gifts, continuing on today. So what I'd like to do tonight is ask or look at the question of whether there are powers that are like what we find in the New Testament. Let's look exactly what when we mentioned a little bit about this earlier, about the miracles that were in the New Testament. One of the things about the miracles that occurred in the New Testament is that they were undeniable. We mentioned this briefly this morning. There are people who witnessed the miracles happening who could not deny the reality of them. Take a look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and starting with verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one else can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Notice what Nicodemus said. We know you're from God because you're doing signs that no one else can do. There was not a dispute about the fact that signs existed. Even those who would rather not admit their existence could not deny that they had happened. We read in our scripture reading this morning from John chapter 9. Go back there again to John 9, and this time to verse 16. It says, "Therefore some of the Pharisees were saying, 'This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others were saying, 'How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?' And there was a division among them." The dispute, as we noted before, of the healing of the blind man who was blind from birth was whether who was doing the miracle. They couldn't deny the fact that here was a man known to be blind who is now seeing. They tried. They tried to argue that this was not the same person or that somehow he really wasn't born blind. They made all sorts of arguments. All of them were defeated. They couldn't deny the fact that the miracle existed. So they argued about who did it. Or take a look at John chapter 11. With the resurrection of Lazarus. A man is raised from the dead who was dead for 4 days. But some of them went out in verse 46. John 11 verse 46. But some of them went out or went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we going to do? For this man is performing many signs." They didn't deny the fact that Lazarus was raised from the dead. Their response was, "We need to do something about this guy because too many people are believing in him." And it wasn't just limited to Jesus. Take a look at Acts chapter 4, verse 14. Acts chapter 4 and verse 14. "And seeing the man who had been healed and standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. The council members who had lots of motivation to deny the fact that a miracle took place stated, we can't. The evidence is too strong. It is right in front of us. In fact, the man was standing in front of us. We can't deny the fact that the miracle existed. That's a characteristic of New Testament miracles. Yet modern day miracles are very questionable. They don't stand up to independent examination. In fact, oftentimes when people ask to examine whether a miracle occurred, the offer is denied. There was a faith healer named A.A. Allen who operated in the 1950s and the 1960s out of a ranch in Miracle Valley, Arizona. Interesting name, place. A physician from the nearby town of Sierra Vista, Dr. Kenneth A. Guthrie, told an interviewer, I have seen no miracles. In fact, I have run into diabetics, run diabetics to the hospital when they stopped taking their insulin, believing they have been cured in Miracle Valley. Here's a doctor, a local doctor, saying, I actually have problems with this outfit because these people go, they're told they're cured of their diabetes, they stop taking their insulin, and I have to go and then run them to the hospital because they're not taking their insulin. There's no cures. There's wishful thinking that was going on. Paul Cain even advised his audience to wait until they get to heaven to examine his exposition of the Man-Child Company, which would never stand the test of scriptures. Here's what he said. I know some of you are going to disagree with this. Don't you even stop to disagree. Revelation 12, verse 5. If you disagree, just file it in the miscellaneous and check it out. And don't bother with it. Then when we get to heaven, we'll check it out and you'll find out I'm right. So when people wanted the check, he says, wait until judgment day. God will check it out and you'll find out I'm right. But don't examine it now. Is that like the New Testament? No, it's not this at all like that, what happened in the New Testament. Now, another thing about the New Testament miracles is they were instantaneous. You don't see people not only taking time to be cured, there's also no recovery time. There's no time that's taken. There's a lot of examples here. Let's just run as quickly as I can. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20 to 22. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For as she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. She has been bleeding for a long time. How long did it take for the bleeding to stop? Instantly. Take a look at Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 30, another case of blindness being cured. Matthew 20 and verse 30. And two blind men were sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they called out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called to them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Now, we have operations today sometimes that works to regain somebody's blindness. And it takes months for things to get back to normal. Because the eye has to learn how to see again. Jesus just touched two people's eyes and they instantly began to see again. Take a look at Luke chapter 4. and verse 38. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 38. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. Where's the recovery period? High fever. Few words from Jesus. Immediately getting up, doing normal housework, and taking care of guests. Luke chapter 5. And he was in one of the cities, and behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face, imploring him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. I don't know of a cure like that, where it is instantly cured. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who came from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healings. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with a stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, Get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. Immediately he got up before them, and picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. No time for his muscles to recover after being paralyzed for who knows how long. He just got up and began carrying something. Not only was he able to walk, he was able to carry something else. And this miracle took place in front of hostile witnesses. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 11. Luke 13, starting with verse 11. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, Woman, you are free from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again, and began glorifying God. Someone who was bent over, had a deformity, immediate healing. In John chapter 5, starting with verse 5. John 5, starting with verse 5. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, Do you wish to get well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Get up and pick up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. He had an infirmity for 38 years that didn't allow him to move very well. Instant healing. One last one in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 49. And while he was still speaking, some came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But when Jesus heard this, he answered and said, Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well. And when he came into the house, he didn't allow any to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, and he said, Stop weeping, for she has not died but is asleep. They began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. And he, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, Child, arise, and her spirit and return. And she got up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. Now, how many people can be dead, even if you want to claim she only appeared to be dead, to be dead and then be cured of it and be instantly up and running around and having meals? You know, the closest that we have to a gradual recovery was a blindness that was healed in two stages in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 22. It's not that I don't think Jesus could have healed this man in one, but he was trying to make a point here. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22, And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying hands on him, he asked him, Do you see anything? And he looked at him and says, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. Then again he laid hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. Again, notice, two times though, and the man is seeing perfectly clear after being blind. No recovery period. What modern day miracle can you name as of that form? Miracles in the New Testament also were complete. In other words, whatever malady that was involved, the healed person was made whole. Take a look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So they might accuse him. And he said to them, What man is there among you who has a sheep? If it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He then said to the man, Stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. Jesus didn't even teach him, touch him. He just said, You stretch out your hand. And his hand became whole, just like it, the other hand. People, when they're healed, had full capabilities. Take a look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 6. But Peter said, I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now jump down to verse 16. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is in the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man, who you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. He was restored to perfect health. He was walking. He was jumping. And it wasn't this was somebody nobody knew. Everybody had seen this beggar. They'd seen him for years. And yet now this man is able to walk. What we see, though, in the modern day miracles, if you want to call them that, those healed today, they'll only experience some temporary improvements, usually. And oftentimes, there's frequent relapses. Consider the case of Ernest Angley, a faith healer from Akron, Ohio. Angley, a flamboyant actor with a flair for the dramatic, normally puts on a good show, but even the best performers have off nights. He stuck his fingers on one occasion. Angley was trying to heal a man who was hard of hearing. He stuck his fingers in the man's ears, twisted him around a few times, and then prayed that the man's hearing might be restored. When Ernest was finished, the man's wife whispered, "Honey," into one of his ears. The man said, "Yes." She then whispered in his other ear, "Baby." Again, the man replied, "Yes." With a face filled with amazement and bliss, Ernest Angley lifted up his eyes toward heaven, cried out with a loud voice, "Hallelujah!" The man looked at Ernest with a quizzical expression and said, "Not bad, how are you?" At the entrance to Miracle Valley, that's A. Allen's 1,280-acre community, there was a huge sign that made it plain just what was going on in that neck of the desert. In red and gold letters, it proclaimed A.A. Allen Revivals Incorporated, Miracle Valley, Arizona. The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, signs, gifts, wonders. A.A. Allen's Miracle Magazine, at the monthly publication with a circulation of 350,000, was produced at Miracle Valley. Allen was very careful to publish a disclaimer concerning the wild claims of healing that appeared in that periodical sent in by enthusiastic healies. Quote, "Utmost care has been taken to assure the accuracy of all testimonies before publication, and A.A. Allen's Revivals Incorporated and Miracle Magazine assume no legal responsibility for the veracity of any such report, nor do they accept responsibility as to the degree or permanence of reported healings, deliverances, or miracles." We'll take your accolades, but if they don't turn out to be permanent, don't come talking to us. Another thing also we need to note about the miracles in the New Testament is they were diverse. We already read a wide variety of different healings of different diseases. You know, Jesus demonstrated power over nature. He calmed a storm. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Wide variety of different miracles occurred. But modern-day faith healers tend to limit their practice to internal maladies, headaches, sinus troubles, psychosomatic illnesses. Several years ago, Louis Gizzard wrote an article entitled "Miracles Are Few, But Laughs Are Many," in which he poked fun at today's faith healers. Mr. Gizzard said, "The first time I came suspicious of faith healers was when Brother Lloyd Dodd Hembry came to my hometown with his faith healing tent ministry. One year, Mrs. Inez Pickett, an old maid school teacher who had been plagued with kidney problems her entire life, decided to see Brother Roy Dodd and see if he could help her. Brother Roy Dodd grabbed Miss Inez, proceeded to beseech the Almighty to try and remove her malady. With a great joyous cry, he proclaimed Mrs. Inez healed, and she commenced to jump around the platform in her newly found healthy state. She became so excited, however, she fell off the platform and broke her leg. "Somebody call an ambulance," was the first one to reach her. "No need for that," someone cried. "Just get Brother Roy Dodd to heal her." Brother Roy Dodd declined. "I don't do broken bones," he said, "only just vital organs." Very different from the New Testament. The things that you see in the New Testament were unstaged. Those healed were well known to the audience, as we pointed out in Acts chapter 3. If we get back, go look at verse 9 and 10 again. "All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Everyone knew this man. People that were healed, their illness was of public knowledge. Take a look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and in verse 25. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. And after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt that in her body that she had been healed of her affliction. Notice, this woman had gone to many physicians. It's documented that she had this problem. This is not something that, I just think I have this problem. I got this pain here that nobody's ever seen or talked about before. No, she had a problem that doctors couldn't cure. That's not so today. Many of the sick show up in town about the same time as the healers. If you pay close attention, you'll find that some of these healed ride the bus out of town with the healer. And they travel to the next town where the miracle is repeated. O.J. Willis of Grovetown, Texas, told the story of an old-time faith healer who came to town, promising to raise the dead. At the front of the big tent, the deceased was stretched out in a coffin, pale and gray, looking bereft of life and asleep in Jesus. Before the services, crowds passed by the coffin, quietly viewing the body, until the unexpected happened. It seems some of the local boys were determined to follow 1 John 4, verse 1, which says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." As one of these young whippersnappers passed by the casket, he produced a long straight pin, which he proceeded to poke in the side of the prostrate body. Commotion and bedlam ensued as the lifeless man was prematurely, unexpectedly, and violently raised from the dead. Another variation of the story says the man who yielded that pin was John O'Dodd, an old-time gospel preacher. Peter Popup, a TV faith healer from Upland, California, was able to fool millions until foiled by the debunker James Randi. Popup was noted for calling out members of the audience and then healing them. While on stage, Popup would call out the names and addresses of individuals to whom he had not spoken, identify their ailments, and then allegedly heal them. How was he to know such details? Was God telling him? Not hardly. Investigators discovered that Papa's staff subtly and shrewdly gathered information on individuals in the audience. Popup wore a tiny hearing aid in his left ear, connected to a receiver tuned to a shortwave band. His wife, Elizabeth, carried a transmitter in her handbag, broadcast to Peter the needed information, and directed him to the right people. Thus, he appeared to exercise a gift of knowledge, identifying people by name and affliction. He had a radio in his ear. And he was caught. It was even on ABC TV. These are what modern day faith healers, the people that are buying these, see. And yeah, they may be unexplainable to the person at the time, but these are not like the New Testament miracles. See, New Testament miracles were verifiable. The reality of the miracle was confirmed by multiple witnesses. Jesus made the mute to speak, the blind to see, the lame to walk. Everyone saw the result. Today's faith healers will not submit their work to verification or testing. In fact, they become indignant if anybody questions them. Contrast their stonewalling with these commands in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Examine everything carefully. Christianity is a religion that is supposed to be examined. In 1 John chapter 4, which we mentioned in one of the stories, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And in Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden sands, says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Notice that Jesus praises them for putting people to the test. People who claim to be apostles and they weren't. You know what? If you look in the New Testament, the presence of unbelievers never caused a New Testament miracle to fail. But you know that's claimed today? There's not enough people who believe, so therefore the miracle didn't happen. It doesn't happen that way in the New Testament. Jesus sometimes healed because unbelievers were present. Take a look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, and starting with verse 1. Mark 3 and verse 1. He entered into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Jesus picked a hostile audience in which to do a miracle before. You see, in the New Testament, they didn't blame the sick person for the lack of ability to heal them. Modern day faith healers will typically blame the sick person's lack of faith as a cause for a failed healing. But you know, in the New Testament, it was the faith of the healer, not the healed, or healee, whichever way you want to word it, that was important. In Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, and starting with verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you had the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Where was the problem with? The lack of faith in the man's part? No. Lack of faith in the boy's part? No. Not enough faith in the disciples' part. True, faith is often manifested by those seeking healing. And sometimes we're told it played an important role. Again, going back to Matthew chapter 9. In verse 20, the woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage. Look at verse 22. Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." And at once the woman was made well. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Faith is an important part sometimes. But there are other cases where faith played no role at all. For instance, the lame man that he was healed by Peter and John, that we read about in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. That man was asking Peter and John for money, not for healing. He didn't know who he was talking to. He was not even expecting an offer of being healed. J.W. McGarvey wrote, "He showed not faith either in Jesus or in the healing power of the apostles until he found himself able to stand and walk. Faith then was that of Peter." And this accords with what we learn in the Gospels, that the working of a miracle by those possessed of spiritual gifts always dependent on their faith, the one who's doing the healing. Another point. When miracles were done, as we pointed out this morning, they weren't done just for show. They were always done to support the truth that was being taught. There was purpose to the miracles. In Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 17, "These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink deadly poisons, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus had spoken to them. He was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." It wasn't the signs that were important. What was important was the teaching. The signs just verified that the teachings were from God. In fact, Acts chapter 2. We read this verse this morning also, but to reinforce it. Not Acts chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, starting with verse 1. "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will." God confirmed that the words they were teaching were true. In fact, it was the truth that proved somebody to be a prophet in the Old Testament. That was one of the signs a person was to look for. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, if you had somebody coming to you and claiming to do a miracle, and it looked like it was a miracle, here's what Moses told the Israelites to do. In Deuteronomy 13, starting with verse 1, "If a prophet or a dreamer or of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the signs or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go down after other gods whom you had not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer or dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments and listen to his voice and serve him and cling to him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you." If you got a man who's doing miracles and claiming to be a prophet of God, and he tells you something contrary to what God taught, such as, let's go follow after idols. But it could be generalized to anything. You don't follow him. God doesn't give contradictory messages. It doesn't matter whether it looks like a miracle or not. It doesn't matter if he prophesies something, he happened to get it right. If the message is false, the guy is a false prophet. In fact, we're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse 7, that there would be false, deceptive people. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. People coming with false signs, lying wonders, all sorts of deceptions, and it's the reason people are following is because they did not love the truth so as to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. Is there going to be false teachers? Yes. Are they going to fool people? Yes. Modern day fake healers are well known for their false teachings and their immoral lifestyles. We have to stick with what the truth is. Contrast between modern day healers and the miraculous healings of the New Testament. And the differences are severe. The miracles of today are dubious. They're doubtful. Long periods of time are necessary for complete recovery, if it comes at all. The healers can only perform a few select types of miracles. The vast majority of their healings cannot be preceded by the senses. Preliminary inquiry weeds out the hard cases. Success requires high emotion, almost hysterical atmosphere. Services are staged. They avoid investigation. They commonly teach false doctrine. That's the characteristics of modern day fake healing. January of 1978, Ernest Angley again was holding a miracle and healing rally in North Carolina. He announced that he would pray for everyone with heart problems. One woman with chronic heart trouble came to seek Angley's blessing. During the service, she slumped to the floor. The ushers, believing she was overcome with spiritual ecstasy, turned away offers for help for 20 minutes. Afterwards, the victim was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. How did the great faith healer respond to this tragic news? Mr. Angley said, "Church is a wonderful place to go to heaven from." He was praying for everyone who had heart problems to be healed, and somebody died in that very service. Now compare this to Paul's example in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we had gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. He prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on a windowsill, sinking down into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him said, and he did not say, it's a wonderful place to die in church services. Paul said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. And they had gone back up and had... And when he had gone back up and had broken bread and eaten, he had talked with them for a long while until daybreak and then left. He healed the boy. He was brought back to life in front of witnesses. There were no excuses. And what I think pains me more is that people with these modern-day faith healing services claim to be this is just like it was in the New Testament. They're undermining people's faith in what was true by presenting something fake in it instead. I hope you'll think about these things, give you something to think about, something that you may want to bring up with those you know. Paul knew what he was saying when he said, and was saying on the behalf of God, the miracles that are in the New Testament ended in the New Testament era because they had served their purpose. They brought about the New Testament. We have an opportunity now, though, to believe in the work of Christ that's recorded for us and verified for us with real miracles that even today stand the proof of tests. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's those who are children of God and would like to pray as their brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.